Can we turn again to the Gospel of St. John? We'll start the second time at verse 35, but this time we go straight through to verse 43 and finish it. Chapter 1. Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse 35. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank Thee for allowing us to be gathered together in Your name and for the privilege which we have of reading Your Word. We ask that Thy Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts even in the reading of the Word and will guide us in our meditation and discussion, that in all things Your name and Your name alone be glorified. Help us, O Father, to see Your Son, to be moved to submit ourselves to His authority, to trust in the fact that He died and rose again that we might have life and be strengthened to live for Him day by day. We ask these things in the name of Thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again the next day, after John stood and his two disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is by interpretation, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the disciples which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is by interpretation the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Lord, bless our hearts reading of His word as He has promised. The last time we looked at this portion together, we considered a bit about Andrew. He seems to be a very special man. He was in the first place a disciple of John the Baptist, we said. Which means he was preparing himself and he wanted to see the promise fulfilled that God would have sent someone to deliver Israel. He was looking forward for Israel's Messiah. And more than that, I believe he was preparing for Israel's Messiah by being baptized, but recognizing the call for righteousness if he was to submit to the King of righteousness. And one day, as he was standing with John the Baptist and another colleague of his, John said, "Behold the Lamb." if we're looking forward for that Lamb, if we're looking forward for the Messiah, I have no time standing with you, John. I'm going to follow him. He turned immediately and began to follow Jesus. We consider that promptness in the life, in the attitude of John, of Andrew. And we too should respond promptly to God's call. He says, come unto me. Are we responding? The scripture encourages us to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Are you responding? But Andrew responded promptly to God's call. We need to respond. We need not go our way. Remember, the scripture tells us this, that the wages of sin is death, and there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. The scripture further tells us, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Andrew followed Jesus. And as Jesus recognized they were following, he said, what are you looking for? Where are you living? And Jesus welcomed them. They had fellowship with him that day. From the 10th hour, which was about 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how long they stayed with him. But the scripture says they stayed with him for a long time that day. And we too must recognize that Jesus wants you. He wants me. He's still telling us, come, come. He's still the one who came to seek and to save the lost. He's yearning that we should have fellowship with him. We were reminded then of the young man Joshua, who in Exodus 33 went out with Moses to the temple. And the Shekinah glory came, the tabernacle, and the Shekinah glory came down. And even as Moses went back, the young man Joshua lingered behind. We must have a habit of lingering in the presence of God, lingering in prayer, lingering in the meditation on God's word. We must find out, ask God to help us not to be too busy, but spend time with him. So Andrew and this other person lingered with Jesus. And when they left him that day, Andrew immediately found, as the scripture says, Simon Peter, and brought him to Jesus, his own brother. I am thrilled at this. I am thrilled because not always brothers listen. We might have a brother, we might have a sister that loves the Lord, and we don't want to hear anything about it. You know who had that experience? Noah. Noah had many brothers and sisters, and we talked about it last a couple of Wednesday nights ago. And only Noah, of his father's children, came into the ark. The others were lost because they refused to hear the word of God. But Peter was brought by Andrew to Jesus. Some suggest that the word brought speaks of almost compelling him to come. And if that is so, it fits into his name, for Andrew means strong, manly. He brought him to Jesus. As soon as Jesus saw him, Jesus said two things. You are Simon. You shall be called Cephas. You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which means a stone or a rock. This is very important. Jonah, in the Old Testament, brings the idea of a dove, gentility. Simon, in the New, is taken from Simeon in the Old. And it has the thought of hearing, being heard, or listening to a hearer. The different thoughts about this word Cephas. Cephas seemingly is the Aramaic word, the counterpart of that is Peter. And do you know, we hardly hear of Simon. We hear more of Cephas. We hear more of Peter. The nickname, the surname stuck. And if you got a nickname around that sticks to you, I remember I had one. Let's say it was B. If they called me B, they called my big brother Big B. And my little brother, Little B. I was B. And it followed me through primary school into high school, where it faded off just a wee bit. But so everyone referred to him as Peter. And did you notice, if you look at that same portion which you read, even before this incident of the changing of the name, of the applying of this surname or nickname, look what happened there in verse 40. Verse 40 says, and one of the two which followed her, John, and followed him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. That name was attached. And people knew him more of a Peter than they knew of Simon. And what a name. Stone. Rock. That's what they called him. High Rock. I don't know how you want to look at it. Some people suggest it means stability. Does it? We'll see. The next time we met Jesus and Andrew in the Gospels and Simon or Peter, the next meeting is recorded in Mark chapter 1. Let's look at it, if you don't mind. Mark chapter 1. I don't know what else the Lord told Peter or Andrew that day. It was the end of the day, I believe, and so they might not have spoken too much. In Mark chapter 1, verse 16, just verse 15, Jesus was preaching. He said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the good news. Verse 16 says, and now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed Jesus. That's what we are to do. Respond right away to the call of Christ. I know I'm a sinner. I know this is my situation, heading for hell. And when I know that Christ died and he's asking me beyond that to come serve him, I must respond. And the scripture says, as soon as they heard it, these men, they left their nets and they began following Jesus. I wonder, who are you following? Who is your leader? Deep down in your hearts, do you want to go your way? Or you want to go his way? Whom are you following? Whom are you really following? You ask yourself, am I listening to his voice? If I'm going to follow him, I've got to listen to what he tells me. After that incident, certain things happened. I just want to make a quick one for connection's sake. In the same chapter, if you look at verse 23, We won't spend too long on that. And in the synagogue there was a man with an unclean spirit. And the bottom line, Jesus in verse 25 rebuked the spirit and said, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried aloud, it came out of him. And the people were amazed in verse 27. In verse 29 of chapter 1 of Mark, "And when they left the synagogue that Saturday morning, that Sabbath morning, they went to the house of Andrew, Simon and Andrew." What a strange thing. They went to the house of Simon and Andrew, and in that house of Simon and Andrew, you had Simon's wife's mother that was ill, and Jesus healed her. That's a wonderful family. Not the type of family families we see today, but that was part of it then. Okay? I made these 2 points to this church to make another point. And that other point is found in Luke chapter 4. And there you find another meeting with Peter. Luke chapter 4. Those two signposts that I mentioned just now could be seen in verse 34, 35. When the same story is reported by Luke. When this man that had an unclean spirit came to Jesus, and Jesus rebuked him and said, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Right? If you go down the line in verse 38, the story reported in Mark was also found here. "And he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a fever." So, you've got a scene, the setting, the timing. But if you go to the next chapter, chapter 5, you have another story. That Jesus was again by the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Gennesaret, and as he walked there were two ships standing. And the fishermen this time were not casting their nets. What were they doing? Washing their nets. It's another incident. And one of the ships belonged to Simon. And Jesus told Simon, "Look, allow me to enter your boat." And Jesus preached from that boat. And when he was finished, I'm reading this going fast because I hope that you will take time off to read Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapters 3 and 4. When we finish, read it your own self. Okay? "And Jesus invited Simon to cast his net on the other side." Go out for a draft. That's verse 5. "Launch out for a draft. And Simon said, 'We have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net.'" What was Simon doing? He was back to his trade. In Mark, we heard he left all and followed Jesus. But here, he was back to his trade. I don't see the name of Andrew mentioned here. But I see Simon, I see John, I see James. They were there. You see, I begin to see Simon, and I now begin to see Peter. You see, Peter speaks of what? Stone, rock. It speaks of me. Where I listen on the one hand, but I'm firm in my views and my outreach and my opinions and my aspirations and my desires and the other. Don't move me. Don't touch me. we tend to say it belongs to this country. This group of people are like that. Or my ancestors are like that. And I'm just like that. I like to do things my way. Hey, you're not unique by that. We're all made out of the same stuff. And when I think of Andrew as Peter being Peter, a rock, stony, holding on to his own position, he's just like any one of us. And I thank God that I had a Jesus. Very patient, strong, and kind. When I think of this story and I think of Peter, I rejoice of that song which I sang when I was in school. It says, "Oh love, that wilt not let me go, I rest my weary soul on thee." That Jesus follows up with his love, speaking to us day by day. We resist him. We behave exactly like Peter did. "You follow you, but let's be practical. I gotta go and fish." And Jesus was always reaching out to Peter. Reaching out to Peter. You know, it is only recorded about 3 times that Jesus called him Peter. Everybody else did. Throughout the Gospels, he's referred to as Peter. Only about 3 times. The one before show which we read here, read the other 2 just now in John 1. Then there's another in Matthew and another portion in Luke. But he didn't call him Peter. And he was all the time trying to make a point. "Oh, stone, come home. Be soft. Be a Simon. Be soft. Listen to what I'm telling you." But Peter was always hard. My view. He said he was rash. He said he was impulsive. He said he was volatile. You couldn't depend upon him. Always quick to speak. Because he was Peter. He was just a plain stone. He's just like any one of us. And don't take the Lord to shape us, whether we're a man or a woman, a husband or a wife, whether we're a child or a parent. We are just like that. We've got to ask God to mold us and to shape us. You see, God always reaches out with deep understanding. Oh, well, I remember the comments which David, Moses made when speaking to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He said these words. He said, "The Lord did not set his love upon you because you are more than anybody else. The Lord just set his love upon you because he loved you. Why should God love a vagabond like me?" Oh, I can't explain it. He just loves us. He just loves us to the extent he gave his son with us. That song comes back in my heart. "Oh, love, that wilt not let me go." Why should God follow me up? I've been whipped and lashed. I've been punished and put in a corner. But I still want to do my own thing. Is that your experience? My view is just like me. My father was like this. My people are like this. And I'm going to be like this. And I'm proud to be a stone. A stony heart. But God loves you. He's calling for you. In Matthew chapter 16. I hope I'm right there. You had your other incident. When verse 17, when Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon ben Jonah," when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This was recorded here. He said it also in John chapter 6. You can check that out. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art the stone. And upon this rock will I build my church. And the gates of hell shall not stand up against it. And I give unto you the keys." And some people look upon this and wonder what that rock really is. But let's bear in mind that in Ephesians chapter 3, the end of Ephesians chapter 3. Don't lose this portion. I'll come back to it.
Then Ephesians chapter 3, the scripture tells us that the rock was built, the church was built on the foundation of the apostles, and the cornerstone was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, I apologize to you. But the end of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, verse 19 said, ye are no more speaking to Christians, okay? Those who simply trust in Jesus Christ and know they have life eternal. Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Fellow citizens with the saints, those who are separated unto God, the holy ones, living saints, not dead people, living saints. All those who are separated to God are saints. And of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation, one foundation, of the apostles and of the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. We'll come back to this. Oh, let me read it. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple of the Lord. Okay, in whom ye are also builded together as an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, what I'm saying here is that the church is built upon the apostles and Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not in Peter. Now, look the line. Go along the line. In that same chapter, you see Peter coming out. Verse 21 says, Jesus began to tell them, to show them, Jesus of all people, he knows the truth. How that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Mr. Stone starts to work. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Oh, what arrogance. What folly. And saying, be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto you. And Jesus turned and said to Stone, get thee behind me, Satan. For it an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Am I still fighting God? God wants us to have soft hearts. Ezekiel had a problem as he considered his people Israel. And Ezekiel, twice think he mentioned it. I'll find one. Ezekiel 36. You find this also in Ezekiel 11, but look at 36, verse 26. This is what Israel was. And this is what God wanted Israel to be. And so God is working on your heart and my heart. He doesn't want us to be firm and fixed on things that are unlike him. He wants us to be soft in his hands. And I'm going to come back to that later on. He said, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause me you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. God wants to take away that hard, bigoted heart. Don't touch me. Don't tell me. Ask God to give us soft hearts. And I often quoted the verse found in Psalm 37 that speaks of this very thing. When in Psalm 37, the psalmist says, delight yourselves in the Lord, and I will give you the desires of your heart. And we said that word delight means be soft in the hands of God. Don't be a Peter.
Listen to God's voice as He molds you. Another contrast that shows God seeking to mold Peter and to make him what he ought to be is found in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. He was sitting at a table. I'm thinking of verse 31. He had just been telling them of the experiences he'll have in the next few hours. And gently he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. And when he repeats the name twice, he wants you to take heed. Satan, behold, Satan have desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Oh, Peter, listen to Jesus. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. Simon, Simon, this will be your test. I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. But what did Peter say? He became Peter again. He says, you're talking about that. You just don't know the story. Lord, I'm ready to go with you. To prison. Even to death. That was his feeling. Strong. And so Jesus brought him back to earth by saying, stone. Please remember this. I tell you, stone. Before the cock crows this day, you shall deny me thrice. Okay. Before the cock crow, hey stone, calm down. Simon, you should be listening to me. Simon, the one that hears. Peter, the one that resists. Stone, Rocky. Before the cock crows, you deny three times that you don't even know me. And you know the story quite well. He and the others showed their heels. They ran. They left him. And Peter three times went out and said, I know not the man. Jesus speaking the truth. But thank God, as God spoke to his heart, he went and wept bitterly. After the resurrection of Jesus, in keeping what Jesus had told them several times before and they refused to hear, Jesus says, go tell my disciples and Peter. Jesus does not forget him. Go tell my disciples and Peter. And what strikes me is that Peter still had Peter in him. Still had that, I'll do it my way. Jesus, Peter was pretty assured that what Jesus said was true. He had risen from the dead. He had eaten with them and other things like that. He gave them. He knew he was alive. And in John chapter 21, what do we have there? John chapter 21. Some disciples were gathered together. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, verse 2. And Nathanael of Cana, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. And Simon Peter says, hey, I got to be practical. I got to be practical. I'm going back. He said, I go fishing. And they said, we go with you. Is it surprising? No. It was Simon who said when Jesus spoke of leaving everything for him, he was practical. He said, hey Jesus, we have left all. What will we get for this? You were still thinking of the things down here. When Jesus said that the temple will be destroyed, Andrew, John and James came to Jesus and said, when are these things going to happen? We're looking forward for you to be the Messiah. You tell me this temple is going to break down? He was being practical. And so Peter was telling him that stony hardness. You got to ask God to work in our hearts day by day. Don't resist him. I go fishing, and what is terrible about this particular scene is the influence you have on others. We've got to pray, God, help our thinking, that our thinking uplifts others, because our thinking and our speech can destroy others. He said, I go fishing, and they said, we are coming with you. But I see Jesus, the one who will not leave us nor forsake us. I think of what Samuel said to the people of Israel when they were straying quite a bit from him. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, it says, Samuel pointed out that the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. For it has pleased the Lord to call them his people. Verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Jesus doesn't let up. O love that wilt not let me go. He's hitting at your heart. Yield to him. I don't know what he's telling you, but feed in his word and ask him to cleanse and to use you in the way he wishes to use you, and to make you a blessing to each one of us here and to others out there. I will not be a Simon, a Peter, a rocky fellow, a stony-hearted chap, a proud, bigoted fellow. I will not be that. But I want to hear your voice, dear God. I want to do what you say. And so in this last scene of chapter 21, you've got the statement, the fish before them. Please read it to yourself to get the whole story. The fish before them, 153 fishes were caught. And Jesus in verse 12 says, come and dine. And as they sat eating, Jesus said, Simon, verse 15, son of Jonah, that's the verse he started, do you love me more than these? You've been going, some people say, do you love me more than these people? Okay, no problem, but sometimes I think it meant more fish. Because he was drawn to the material things. He was drawn to the things that passed away, that will pass away. He went back and went back to it. It wasn't an easy game for Peter, and he's just like us. We just like he is. Do you love me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. Again, Simon, Mr. Harkner, Mr. Man who hears me supposed to hear. You say you hear God and you love God. You say you believe these things. Simon, be honest about it. Do you really in your heart love me? And the third time, Simon, do you love me? And Peter was grieved when the question was asked the third time, do you love me? He was grieved. He said, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love you. Would to God it in our hearts. We get off of our high horses, our self-will, our doing it my way, our sin, our solving the problem our way, and ask God to forgive us for our sin. Ask God to help us to rest in the fact that he died for us on Calvary's cross. He's willing to receive us. He's still speaking to your heart and mine. He's still saying, come. Christ died for sinners. He died for me. He died for you. and more than that. As you read this story, he died for sinners, he died for you, he died for me. But more than that, the amazing thing is that when any one of us will come and say yes to Jesus, he will use us in ways that we cannot ever imagine. You'll find that in the life of Simon Peter. And may God help us as we meditate upon his life and what Christ died for us upon Calvary's cross, that we too will have our hearts transformed and yielded to him who loved us and gave himself for us. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you for your grace and your patience with us. You touched in our hearts when we were younger, Lord, as kids. You touched us. We have grown and you continue to touch us and to speak to us. Some of us are older in your presence here, Lord, and you still speak. But, oh God, we behave as Peter did. We displayed that hardness of heart, that stoniness of attitudes, that resistance of your voice. We, with all strength, said, we'll do it the way we want, and you have no right to tell us how to move. But I thank you, you keep knocking at our heart's door because you loved us and you know the awful effects of our sin. We thank you, God, for loving us so much that you went to the cross. You sent your Son to the cross to die for our sins. We thank you for the simplicity of salvation. If we will but repent and trust, you will save. And for those of us who know you, we ask of you to speak to our hearts that we may be used in service for you, that we will follow you regardless of what others might do. We hear thy voice telling us, come unto me, and I will make you fishers of men. Bless all the saints in this fellowship, and all those who gather in your name around this globe, for we ask it in the name of thy Son, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 525, I referred to it twice, and thank you very much, sir. O love that wilt not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. Quit fighting. Rest in him for salvation. Rest on him for service. You know what? After Peter had that amazing discussion with him, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Jesus told him to follow him. You can read the whole chapter. And Jesus, Peter, hadn't lost his stoniness. He saw John, and he now was concerned about John, and said, Lord, what will that man do? And Jesus had to tell him, if I will that he should remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. We are all here today. Don't look at each other's faces. Let God speak to your own heart personally. And you say, Lord, I will follow you. You've been touching me. O love that wilt not let me go.
O love that wilt not let me go, I rest my weary soul on thee. I give it back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depth its flaw may all my way, I give my memory for me.